Welcome to Sharp Insights, conversations with your plan giving experts, a podcast for development professionals. Whether you're new to the field or looking to enhance your existing program, we will provide practical tips, expert advice, and real-world stories to deepen your understanding of plan giving. If you're committed to securing long-term support for your nonprofit, you've come to the right place.
Welcome to Sharp Insights, conversations with your plan giving experts. I'm your host, Grant Miller. Estate planning used to be something people avoided, paper-heavy, lawyer-dependent, and often postponed until one of these days. But in the past decade, that started to shift. Recently, online estate planning tools have reduced barriers, increased access, and quietly changed how people view legacy, generosity, and long-term impact. In this episode, we speak with Brantley Boyette, co-founder and president of Giving Docs. Brantley, a former and self-described recovering attorney, earned his JD and a BFA in economics from the University of Texas at Austin, and he's also taught law and entrepreneurship at Duke University School of Law. Today, we'll explore why Giving Docs was created, why the company focuses on nonprofits, and what organizations need to understand about meeting donors where they are today, especially regarding plan giving and legacy decisions. Brantley, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So can you just go ahead and walk us through the origin story of Giving Docs? What gap did you see in the market or in the nonprofit world, and what made you think that Giving Docs needed to exist?
So I had been practicing law in Austin, Texas for about 10 years, and I'd started doing work with tech companies, and I was really fascinated by the work that they were doing and the kind of fun activities that they seemed to be engaged in compared to my day-to-day work at the law office. So I actually met my co-founders at a Google Startup Weekend event where people were going to pitch ideas and try to turn them into companies. So one of my co-founders' name is Gavin Gillis. He is an attorney turned entrepreneur. And the other one's named Robert Geis, and he is a chief technical officer at Giving Docs still to this day. And we all three of us met that weekend. And the vision that was pitched there was essentially an online estate planning platform that would democratize estate planning and provide people estate planning tools for free. And the business case was a little different back then, at least that weekend, in that we thought we might be a platform for related services. Like we might be able to add on life insurance or health insurance and sell things to people or use their information to make money somehow. And it was a very successful pitch, and we ended up winning the Startup Weekend. I pitched it 8-7 CEOs on Sunday night after we worked on it all weekend, and we got first place. And the three of us got together for a few months after that and worked on it. And a couple months in, I became kind of disillusioned with the idea of selling people stuff or selling their information. It didn't gel with my vision for democratizing estate planning, so to speak, which was the tagline way back then. And what happened was a friend of mine and I got together one day, and he brought me a letter that was written to him from the University of Texas, and it was asking him to put them in his will. And I was like, I might not have checked my mail, but I imagine I got a letter, something similar to this at some point. And that's when the light bulb went off, and it became something really exciting for myself and the co-founders. When we really started to do a deep dive on plan giving, we found Russell James. We started to really research the entire market, and what we saw there was a gap in the way that plan giving had traditionally been done, and where we educate donors and we take them on this journey, and then a gift officer is assigned to the donor and they have this kind of 3 to 5 year sales cycle. And our thesis was that there were a lot of people, and while that works still today and there's a lot of great people doing that work, our thesis was that the industry might be missing a lot of people who might otherwise commit to a plan gift today if it was just a bit easier and we could take the cost down, right? So that's kind of how we flipped and became Giving Docs at that point. We actually rebranded and we had a different name before that. But that's when we really started to find purpose in the work, and it got really exciting. It was somewhat exciting before, but when we realized the impact that we could have on organizations and the people giving to those organizations, that's how we really became Giving Docs. It wasn't super well received at first by the legal industry. And obviously in those early days, 2015, 2016, no one was really doing this specifically for nonprofits. So there was significant a bit of pushback, but I think we talked to a lot of people. We were open and honest. You know, I talked to the State Bar and told them what I was doing, and they let me know that they were not fighting online platforms anymore, and that they, while they wouldn't endorse any particular one, they weren't going to, you know, try to disbar me or get in a lawsuit with the company or anything like that at that point.
What was some of their initial hangups?
Specifically, you know, I had a lawyer that was related to the University of Texas say, you know, I was going to get disbarred. Everybody was going to get sued, and the lawyers who paper gifts for the University of Texas wouldn't talk to them anymore if they were to share a platform like this. So obviously I talked to the State Bar, I wasn't going to get disbarred. And the lawsuits are a fact of life. Giving Docs were almost 10 years in and we haven't been involved in any litigation whatsoever. But that will always be the case, that organizations get sued by a family member who doesn't want a gift going to the organization. So it's kind of a cost of doing business in plan giving, or has been for a really long time. And then, yeah, the biggest hurdle was getting past those lawyers who worked with the orgs and didn't want us around. And I get the argument that this is dangerous and maybe these platforms haven't been vetted and we might get in lawsuits. But I also think to some degree, the attorneys were wearing the wrong hats. So they might have been protecting their business interests over the interests of the organization they're working with. And that's a fine line. And it's easy to see it from both sides as an attorney myself. So I think, you know, I was uniquely positioned to have these conversations and say, look, I hear what you're saying, and we're doing everything we can to protect the organization. At the same time, this is happening. We're not the only ones doing it. And we saw really in the pandemic kind of a sea change in people's attitudes about online estate planning in general. And a lot of other players have popped up. And what we're doing now isn't foreign really to anyone, and seems like a part of the business. It's also always been my personal thesis that what we're doing actually brings more work to attorneys, which is why I wasn't overly empathetic to the business case side of things, because we see more people engaged in planning their estates. We're going to get more attorneys involved. We have more estate planning documents going to probate. That also brings more attorneys to the table. And I think a lot of them have started to realize that and work with us. You know, that lady from the University of Texas who originally said all those mean things to me came back a year and a half later and said, look, I was wrong, completely wrong. And I'd like to be an advisor to this company now. And I want to help you build it up. I think more people should have access to estate planning tools. And that's fundamental to what you do.
Yeah, I definitely think one thing the pandemic really showed us is how we didn't really need to leave the house as much as we thought we did in many different instances. Did you have any experience working in the nonprofit world before, or was it just the piece of mail asking to give to your alma mater, your buddy's alma mater, that really made everything fall into place?
I've always kind of appreciated nonprofit work and donated to nonprofits that I care about, like the University of Texas. The ACLU is a particularly big one for me as an attorney. I love civil rights and human rights. But I hadn't ever really thought of a career in that. You know, truth be told, my original career path out of law school, I was on the environmental law journal, and I wanted to be an environmental lawyer and save the world that way. And life took me in a different direction. But no, I knew right away, as soon as that light bulb switched, that this was the thing that I wanted to do. And truth be told, I wouldn't be doing this if not for the impact. I certainly would have made more money if I'd stayed as the type of attorney that I was before I did this. And so I really found my passion and my people in this space.
Great. So Sharp Group and others provide plan giving websites to the organizations that they work with. Since the Giving Docs solution is also online, how do these solutions interact, and how do you add to the value that these services provide?
One of the reasons that we partner with the Sharp Group and others in the space is that they have been providing a plan giving web presence for the organizations they work with for a long time and doing a very good job of it. So plan giving microsites or websites often contain a lot of information, a lot of education, and a lot of tools that Giving Docs doesn't provide and has no desire to compete with. So, and I do think that any org that's pursuing plan gifts should have a web presence because a lot of donors will want to educate themselves. As I said earlier, not everyone wants to talk to a gift officer all the time. And sometimes they just want to take their own journey to learn about the different ways to give. And that's super valuable information that can be provided 24/7 online and helps to boost the work of planned gift officers at all of these organizations. Giving Docs is less of an educational journey and more of a checkout button for planned giving. So once someone has taken that journey and understands why they want to leave a planned gift and they want to go ahead and take action on that, then they have the opportunity through our platform to do that. And there's obviously the end of life giving that we have on Giving Docs, but there's also some other tools like our qualified charitable distribution tool or stock giving or donor advice funds that can be made simpler and have that checkout experience through Giving Docs. So when we partner with an organization like Sharp Group, we just want to make sure that those links to all the tools and are embedded in those planned giving microsites in a way that makes it really easy for donors to access their Giving Docs platform through the microsite. So I believe it's like a very symbiotic relationship where we're able to then give information back to groups like the Sharp Group about the success on the platform, and they are able to direct people to us to help them create their legacy.
Okay. Well, so who's using Giving Docs? And, you know, not that long ago, if you wanted to make a gift to an organization that you cared about, you might stomp into a planned giving development officer's office with a print publication in your hand and say, I want to talk to this person. I got this in the mail. And obviously between, you know, the pandemic and just technological changes in the way that each generation responds to these sorts of things, there's lots of changes just about the ways that people go about doing this sort of things. What have you all seen? Like, who is using Giving Docs? You know, what does that reveal about the ways that legacy giving is changing?
Yeah, it's super interesting. And we've kind of tracked the numbers since we got started. And I think, you know, originally we had assumed that it would be a younger crowd that's using online tools, you know, 10 years ago. And I think the most shocking thing to me in the last 10 years is seeing how many people over 80 are actually using this service and services like it to do their estate plans. And it was often the thesis of the organizations that we were working with, that it would just be kind of younger people doing their first estate plan. We actually see today the average age of a Giving Docs user is about 55. And part of that is the way that we work with organizations. So we are generally working with an organization to go to their kind of ideal planned giving target list. And sometimes that excludes younger people. And often someone in their 20s, it's a planned gift is a long ways away. And also for us, it's really hard to get people in their 20s to do estate planning. And we've done a lot of work studying why that is. But essentially, we kind of target that age range of 40 to 100. And it shakes out that we do see actually more people in that 40 to 55. But still, half of our users are over 55. And a lot are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s at this point. So I think that was something that we didn't really see coming, but a change that was also exacerbated and sped up by the pandemic and people just coming online in ways that they hadn't before. And I think we'll continue to see that moving forward.
Yeah, I remember my grandfather discovered Facebook when he was maybe in his 70s, and you couldn't get him off of it until, you know, he's passed
away.
Same
thing when my grandma got an iPhone, you know?
Yeah, he was on there posting status updates every day. So that is surprising. Well, just curious, there's a lot of online estate planning tools available. And I guess from your perspective, what really sets Giving Docs apart from other platforms that people might find just through a basic Google search?
Yeah, I mean, one of them is that we're one of the only platforms that's founded by attorneys and kind of goes into everything with that lens of making sure that we're doing everything we can to protect the end users and but also the organizations that we're working with. I will also say that we're different from almost everyone else in that we are not consumer public facing. So we're not trying to sell wills or trusts. We're not trying to monetize our end user in any way whatsoever. And you can't go to givingdocs.com and get your estate plan for free. We are only available through our nonprofit partners as kind of a donor benefit, volunteer benefit, staff benefit, patient benefit, alumni benefit. And I think that's somewhat unique in the space that we are just singularly focused on helping nonprofits grow their legacy societies.
And, you know, looking ahead, how do you think online estate planning and legacy giving is going to change or evolve over the next 5 to 10 years. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but you know, what are you all talking about in your world about, you know, what's coming down the road?
I'm interested to see how artificial intelligence is going to change estate planning in general in the next 5 to 10 years on one side. So certainly if you played with ChatGPT and you've asked it to do a will or trust, it does a serviceable job right now. No one should be doing that for their will or trust, but we're seeing AI take over all facets of the legal industry currently. And it started, you know, with simple tasks like discovery, and now it's gotten into more complex tasks. No one is doing an AI will builder online, I think, because no one wants to go first and get sued by all the state bars at once. But someone may at some point attempt to do that. And then we'll get into a real big debate about whether that's legal or safe or whatever. On the other hand, apart from that, how could that change the way we do things? Significantly. And that I don't think is coming right away, but I think it's going to be a debate that comes up in the next couple of years. On the other side, I think that we're seeing, you know, just a lot of things move away from estate planning in general. You know, we have started with beneficiary designations. There's a lot of people moving money into DAFs. And 10 years ago, I had this crazy idea that we wouldn't have wills anymore. We'd have smart contracts executing on the blockchain. It seems like we're still a ways off from that, and no one's gotten the use case. But you can see a world where we go digital and there's less of a need for estate planning. I don't think it's going away even in the next 10 years, but that it's certainly a possibility that we have to keep an eye on and try to see around corners and figure those things out before they happen. I think what's the impact on the plan giving industry? I think for most people, not that much. People will adapt, and it's still about relationships and talking to donors and figuring out what people really care about in their lives and inspiring them to think about their mark on the world. But it's a really interesting space, and there's a lot of things moving in legal tech right now, and we just try to keep our ear to the ground and stay on the pulse of things moving, but always do that through the lens of, okay, how does this change affect the organizations that we work with, and how can we protect them from downside of any potential changes that are coming?
Yeah, you know, this is such a forward-thinking project that there might be some questions that I didn't even think to ask you. Is there anything lingering that you'd want to talk about or mention about the future of giving docs and how it's going to work with nonprofits? You mentioned that AI is going to make us all immortal, and so estate planning is going to get tricky anyway, right?
There's that
But yeah, what are some other things that we might not even be taking into account now?
I think giving docs and our team comes into work every day thinking about how we can just be better partners. I think we stay ahead of the game by staying close to our partners, and it's a very partnership-based company. So we intentionally partner with, you know, some of the larger tech firms, the CRM organizations, and really try to show up in the space at local plan giving councils, other types of conferences, because really we get better by having this kind of shared consciousness in the industry and listening to forward-thinking people who are trying to see around those corners. There's tons of people doing great work. We're members at the Giving Institute. We sponsor a group called Fundraising.ai, which is trying to protect nonprofit organizations from the advancements in AI and also make sure they're deployed ethically in a way that aligns with the ethics of nonprofit organizations. So I would just encourage anyone listening to think about that. Follow thought leadership. Don't put your head in the sand when it comes to AI. It's going to affect your work, but look to the leaders who have gotten out ahead of this early. And I'm not claiming we're one of them, but we try to align ourselves with those people's values and the work that they're doing to make sure that we could keep up with what is increasingly a shifting under our feet kind of technology space. So we are fortunate to have lots of partners in the space that can help us with that.
That's great. I think it was David Lee Roth echoed that the only thing that stays the same is change. And then another thing that stays the same, I think, is just that, you know, what it really boils down to is you're just another tool for people and donors who want to make an impact in the world. Thanks so much for joining us. You know, charitable estate planning is ultimately, it's about more than just documents, and it's about more than AI, and it's about the values and the impact that we hope will outlive us. So our thanks to Brantley Boyette for helping us better understand how tools like Giving Docs are reshaping the future of legacy giving and making those conversations more accessible for donors and those of us in the nonprofit industry alike. If you found today's episode helpful, please subscribe and share with colleagues in the field. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. And until next time, I'm Grant Miller.
Thanks for listening. We hope today's discussion gave you practical takeaways to grow your plan giving program. To submit questions and topics for future episodes, go to sharpgroup.org or listen to us on your favorite podcast app. If you found this podcast insightful, be sure to like, review, and subscribe. Until then, stay sharp.